great day to be together in the house of the Lord, and it's a day that's a special for us because we are recognizing Victor Rodriguez. We are going to license him today. A license is not as high a requirement as an ordination council. He will not be Reverend Victor, but we are recognizing today God's calling in his life. We are not making God's calling in his life. That's up to God to do. We are acknowledging God's call upon his life. And so we're going to do that this morning with some opportunities to share together. And I've invited some people to come to share that are an important part of today's opportunity. And I'm going to start with Victor, because without Victor, we're not doing this. Victor, come on up and have a seat here if you would, please. And then we've got Pastor Jeremiah. I'm going to invite you to come on up here to one of these chairs, and Pastor Sammy as well. And then our three elders, Jim Chipman, Don Ewis, and Ross Gomez, please, if you would come up. And I've got these gentlemen here because it is appropriate to have them to speak into Victor's life and to share in this time of ceremony together. Now, throughout the morning, as we have a chance to have these gentlemen speak to us, when they are completed in that opportunity, they are free to go back and sit down. And especially Pastor Jeremiah, since he will be preaching over at Remnant in just a few minutes. So we are very sensitive to his time constraints, and I'm very grateful for him to be here. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work that he desires to do." What we are talking about here for Victor, he is not becoming an overseer in the sense of that word, but he is aspiring to serve God, and it is our responsibility this morning and our opportunity this morning to recognize, again, God's calling in his life to fulfill that ministry opportunity. I want to have Victor come in just a moment and share with you three things. Now, I normally would ask him to share his testimony, but he shared that very clearly and concisely 2 weeks ago, right here from the pulpit to our church family. If you missed it, go back on the Facebook, on the church website. You can hear it there. It's a very compelling testimony as to his salvation. So I did not want him to duplicate that again today. But Victor, as I give you the mic in just a moment, there are three things I want from you. Number one, I want to know, are you in agreement with the doctrinal statement of First Baptist Church? Second thing, I would like you to explain to us how you would share Christ with someone to lead them to faith in Christ. And number three, I want to hear what ministry God is calling you to and what steps you have taken to pursue that calling. So Victor, come on up if you would and share those three things with us.
Good morning, church. Good morning. So I do want to say I am in agreement with the First Baptist Church doctrine and faith statement. I also want to share but one of my favorite ways, you know, there's a lot of ways you could share Christ with people, and we've heard Romans Road, you know, there's a few other ones, but the last year I had an opportunity to intern at Youth for Christ, and I really like the three-story way they share the gospel with people that don't know Christ, and it's really building a relationship with someone else, not just going straight into some God, and, you know, some people might not even know God or who Jesus is nowadays. Some people were blessed to know it in their house, get it at school back in the day, but now some people don't get to hear that at all. So when you get to connect with someone through a relationship with them and share the gospel through that, I think it's an amazing opportunity. And I forgot number three.
You're not old enough to forget that. It's your call to ministry.
Oh, yeah. So my call to ministry, when I started, I wanted to be a counselor. I didn't know what kind, one day I needed to fill a position where they needed some help, and you know, I thought it was just by accident that it happened, but I don't think God has accidents. Everything happens for a reason. And ever since that day, I've been in youth group helping with youth ministries and really seeing the need that the kids have right now, where the some of the needs that I had as a youth in school. So that's where I believe I'm being called to, youth ministry. I'm going to seminary. Hopefully this is my last year. So there's some pretty intense classes going on, and hopefully that started last week. The new class started last week, so if you guys could please pray for me.
Don't go away. Laura, could you please come up and join us? At this point, what we're going to do, having recognized Victor's calling of the Lord, we've seen evidence as he's ministered here at the church. Victor, I'm going to ask you to just kneel right here front and center, if you would, please. And Laura, what I want you to do is grab hold of his hand like you like him. Now, gentlemen, I'd invite you to come up, and please, we're going to lay hands on Victor and pray for him, recognizing God's call in his life. I'm going to lead out, and if one of you other gentlemen would like to also pray, we'd be glad to have you do that. Father God, we thank you for Victor. Lord, sometimes we look for miracles like parting of the Red Sea. And yet, Lord, we see miracles in our church every day. Victor is such a miracle. We've heard his testimony of where you have called him to go. 2 weeks ago, we heard his testimony as to how you brought him to salvation. Father, these are miracles. Victor is obviously a new creation in Christ. And Father, he is faithfully following you. Lord, there are many steps to Christian life, to Christian growth, to opportunity of ministry. I pray that you would continue to guide Victor. I pray that you would continue to bless Victor and to use him in a special way as your ministering agent, your ambassador in this church, in this community, wherever he is, Lord, that he is your man to accomplish your work for your glory. So, Lord, we do not now commission him. We acknowledge your commissioning of him, your calling in his life, by recognizing him and granting to him this license, that your name might be glorified and your ministry expanded. Anyone else that would like to pray this morning?
Father, I want to lift up to you your servant Victor. Thank you, God, for the steps that you've led him through in his life. God, we've seen him go from one who doesn't have an interest in you or in your word to being one who wants to be a student of your word, Father, and is passionate about your heart for lost people. And so, God, I just thank you for him and the way that you've led him and the way that you have brought him along, Father. I ask that you would continue to guide his path, Father, that your word would be a light to his path. God, that he would seek wise counsel, that he would be one that always pursues the heart of God. And I thank you, and we want to express our love for him, Father, and just our excitement as he desires to pursue this calling to ministry, Father. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we commit Victor, along with his wife Laura, and their family, into your care, for your grace, your blessings, for this call to ministry that you've placed upon him. We recognize this today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. sat down kind of fast again, Victor. Sorry. As recognition of this commissioning today, we give to you the certificate of license. I'll even give you this handy-dandy folder, because I know if I handle it, it's going to end up creased and wadded and things like that. These gentlemen here today, they look mighty good, but they're not here just for show. They're here because they've had a part in Victor's life, Victor's ministry, and I've invited them to come to be able to share a word of encouragement, a word of challenge, and a word of support for Victor in his life and ministry. And again, since Pastor Jeremiah has to be off, we need to have him come first, and thank you for being available to be with us today.
Good morning. This is a familiar place. Love being here with God's people. I want to, first of all, just say that Victor Rodriguez, you know, our relationship started as a friendship and fellowship with the men's group. And the first time I met Victor, the first thing that was apparent to me was that he was a Dodgers fan. Because he was never without his hat. But as I got to know him, I realized that this guy was so much more than a passionate Dodgers fan. He was passionate for Jesus. And not only passionate for Jesus, but passionate to see lost people come to know him. And the other thing I noticed about Victor was that he was a hard worker and is a hard worker. In fact, as we opened up internships at Youth for Christ this past year, and we were looking for someone to step into this role. And Victor said, I think I'd like to be an intern at Youth for Christ. In my mind, right away, even before the interview, before that process, I thought, Victor's hired. I would definitely hire this guy because he works hard, and he loves Jesus, and he loves people. And I want to read for you the qualifications of a pastor, which many of you are familiar with from Titus 1, starting in verse 5. It says, Paul says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And as I read those descriptions, and I'm pretty sure that this church would agree with me, it sounds like the bio of Victor, his biography. It sounds like his testimony, who he is. And I know, Victor, that you're pursuing full-time ministry, and wherever God would lead you in that, I just want to say that I feel like God has blessed you and he's called you to do this, and that I know that he's going to use you in a powerful way. I saw Victor being used in a powerful way this last year at Youth for Christ. And I know that God is going to continue to use you and continue to do great things through you. So, again, as I mentioned earlier, can't stress enough wise counsel, having brothers and sisters in your life that can pour into your life and always be learning. But God is going to use you, and we're excited to see what God does in Victor's life. So, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for coming. Pastor Sammy's been up and preaching already, so he's all warmed up and ready to go. But we appreciate your ministry in Victor's life as well.
Amen. Thank you. In case some of you don't know me, my name is Sammy Carrillo. I do Spanish ministry for First Baptist Church. And I want to thank you guys for having us here. But this morning, I want to say something a little different. you know, the reason that Brother Victor's sitting there and he's got a certificate, he got a haircut, he's looking good. Thank you, Sister Laura. Thank you for being faithful. It's her faithfulness. It's her faithfulness that her husband is sitting here. They say behind every great man, they say behind every great man is a great woman. That's a great woman. Because I've been here all for 9 years, more than that already. And that's a great woman right there. But let's go back to Victor, okay? Brother Victor, I want to read you a scripture. It's in Proverbs 4:23. And it says, above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. And one thing that I've always told Brother Victor is keep a clean heart. I've always taught him through the years that we've been together, working together, keep a clean heart. Because things are going to come against you, challenges are going to come against you, people are going to come against you, but keep a clean heart. Always keep a clean heart. Don't let that heart get dirty. Don't let that heart get hard. Don't let that, keep a clean heart. And you'll be doing ministry for a lot of years. But I just want to thank God for Brother Victor. The first time I met him, it was right here. We were just starting the Spanish ministry, and I remember he came. Sister Laura at that time was always with a camera. She was always walking around with a camera. And I remember I met Brother Victor. She's real happy. This is my husband. I said, hey, nice to have you. Good to have you. He just looked at me and went, I'm like, get out of here. Who are you? But you know what? God has done a work in Victor's life, Brother Victor's life. You know, I spent all of COVID with him. Me and him were the only ones holding the fort during COVID, and we got to talk a lot. We got to share a lot. We got to know each other, not only as a relationship, as brothers in the Lord, but as friends. And Brother Victor has always had a heart that wants to do something for God, and he needs guidance. He needs direction. He needs all of us to help him to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. There's times where we talk hours about what we want God to do at First Baptist. There's times where we talk for hours just what God's going to do and how he's going to fill up the youth ministry and it's going to fill up the balcony and he's going to fill up the Spanish ministry and things are going to be awesome once again because that's a powerful God that we serve. Because we serve a God that is mighty. We serve a God that can do anything, that nothing is impossible to him. Look at this man right here. If you know his testimony, how he grew up, you know, he had a pretty bad start in life, real bad start in life. But one thing that I thank God is that he was able to help him with those pains, with those hurts, with those things that he carries in his life. You know, he was giving up at 3 months to his grandmother as a baby. You know, that's something hard to live with. That's something hard to deal with as you grow older and as you grow to life and you have your own problems and you begin to question life. Why did this happen to me? But one of the things that I like about Brother Victor, he can take life and just keep going. You know, we had a lot of good times. We've talked about scripture. We share scripture. I ask him questions. He asked me questions. And I'm real proud of Brother Victor about going to seminary. I'm real proud of him going to seminary. You know, it's something that you can't just do. It's not something that anybody can do. It's got to be a calling of God upon your life. And I just want to thank you this morning. Thank you, Brother Victor, for your friendship. Thank you, Sister Laura, for your faithfulness. And I love you guys this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Sammy. Chairman of the Elder Board is Mr. Jim Shipman. We appreciate his leadership in the church.
I've had the privilege of watching Victor first see the hunger in his heart to know God, and then to see him know God. First through his efforts of his mother-in-law, and then through his wife, and then through our church. And I'm not Victor's spiritual father, but I was there at his birth. Pastor Tommy led Victor to the Lord and baptized him. But it says here in Titus 3, it says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. And I saw him do that to Victor. And as Victor, as our church, as a family, I consider Victor my spiritual son and Laura my spiritual daughter and their children. And I've got to watch him take all of his steps to where he is today. And it's been my privilege and my good fortune. And I just want to challenge you a little bit here, Victor. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples and to his spiritual children. And he said this to them. This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And that's what he's done to Victor. He's opened his mind so that he could understand the scriptures. And I told him, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in El Centro, and you are witnesses to these things. And this is the charge I give to you today, Victor, that I have been a witness to all of these things in your life. And not only to be excited about that, but to be excited that you're in a church family who nurtured you, and that we are being a church family and doing what God's will is. And so, Victor, I just say to you, as a father who delights in a son, thank you. And God will be with you, and we will be too, all the rest of the steps of your life.
Thank you, Jim. It was the unanimous vote of the elders that moved this opportunity forward. And Don Uys has a very special relationship with Victor as well. And so we've invited him to come and also share a challenge and encouragement. Thank you, Don, for coming.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm another one of the fathers of this young man. And this started in our church many, many years ago. And it was through Laura being in our adult Sunday school class that's been going on here for, well, even before I've been here 30, 40 years, I guess. But from that adult Sunday school class, we started praying for Laura's husband. I don't know how many years it was, but as was mentioned, it came to be that he accepted Christ as his Savior. And I'm not sure that Laura understood all the applications and what was going to happen. The fact that Victor was just going to be living at the church from then on, you know. So, and we make sure that that happens because he's always involved in the things that are going on here. But now he's involved in half a dozen ministries within the church. And so much a part of every part of our functioning life as a Christian ministry. We all face that challenge, and I had the scripture from Romans that talks about our responsibilities. And this is from Romans 12, starting in verse 5. It says, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." And here's the part that's meant for all of us. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many are one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And then it goes on to talk about the love that we're supposed to use to do this. And Katie and I were talking just about our lives and how we started at age 15, 16. Before that, I was taking up the offering from the back seat, along with sleeping in the back seat sometimes. My father was the pastor. But anyway, we started out teaching at a very young age. And you folks each have a gift. We see Paul up there. We see Victor up there. We see Jesse up there. And then we see the music and all of that. Each of us has gifts. And that's what's so amazing to me is the way that God has gifted Victor with so many different gifts, his abilities in many areas. And so he's, as you know, really our office manager and does a lot of the overheads and things like that. Is a liaison to all of us for the work that's being done around the church and all, and the scheduling and the sound and broadcasting and all of this that's there. And what a great ministry with the Kingdom Kids. And you can see his heart just when he speaks about their needs and how he comes to us to say, oh, we need to pray for this father. We need to pray for this family that's having problems just finding food to eat and how we minister to them. And so I see his heart as being such a big, open heart for so many things within our church. He also is part of our family in a very special way. He's become our grandson's best friend. And even though Marshall is now 1,200 miles away, they talk frequently. And he has been a spiritual influence in Marshall's life. The bad part is that Marshall's now not here with us to where he can have that impact day to day, but he also is still a part of that. And so we appreciate the foundation that was laid there. So I just want to say in a very special way that as a son of ours and mine, God bless you. We appreciate this step and getting the education. We know this has not been easy to study full time, go to seminary, online, as well as all of the other things. But we bless you for it. Thank you.
Ross, we appreciate so much your abilities on the elder board and your presence there and your wisdom. And appreciate your relationship with Victor as well. Come and share if you would, please.
Try to be brief. I don't know if that'll work. Usually I get nervous and so I talk a lot faster, so it'll maybe briefer than I anticipated. But I think back to when Victor first came and just what a joy it's been to watch you grow in your relationship with the Lord, and just to see that sincere heart that you have for serving the Lord and serving others, and that loving, caring kindness that you have, that God's put in your heart. That's been a joy to see, and it's been a joy to just think that in any way God's used me to encourage you in that growth, just to be near that. I always like to be near people that just come to the Lord where God's working in their life, you just kind of want to get some of that on you. So it's been great to see that, and it's been an encouragement, not just to me, but I know to all of us to see the work the Lord's doing in your life and your faithfulness and your heart for serving. Just two things, a little challenge and a little encouragement. And I always feel like whenever I'm asked these kind of things, that the only good counsel I have to give is what God's been putting on my heart and in my life. And one of the things that he put on my heart was from Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God. And just that is where it really starts. And what God was putting on my heart in my life was not to let busyness doing good things keep you from the most important things. The important things like prayer and time in the Word, don't neglect those. There's so many good things in this world. We always talk about, and like Pastor Sammy said, keep your heart clean and keep from the bad things. It's also easy to get into so busy with good things that we neglect the most important things. And God had put that on my heart, and I was just going to share that challenge with you to not neglect that time. It never, nobody ever wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to stop praying, I'm going to stop reading the Bible. It's more like, oh man, I got to get the kids to school, I got to get the stuff done, I'm going to have to skip it this morning. And then you realize, wow man, I skipped it three times this week, and then it starts drifting. So the encouragement that God put on my heart was, man, when I see that, it's got to be important. And I got to admit, I don't bat 1,000. So that kind of segues into the next part of the encouragement, that 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That is such an encouragement that we all fall short, and we're going to fall short. And when we do, we can go back to a wonderful, loving, merciful Savior who will not only forgive us, and it's right and just that he does because he has paid the penalty, but then he will heal us and help us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I just encourage you to stay on the narrow way, and if you ever find yourself off, come back. Think of that verse, because I know that sometimes I've looked up in my own life and went, oh man, I thought I was on the narrow way, but now that I look up, I realize I've drifted a bit and I need to get back. It's just so encouraging to know that we have a loving, merciful Savior who is waiting and seeking us in those times. So when you were kneeling down here, I'd wanted to pray too, but I was starting to think, man, I bet Victor's knees are killing him. He's been down there a long time. And so if I had prayed then, I was just going to pray, just give thanks to the Lord for you and for the blessing you are to our lives and to this church, to my family, and just that God would just continue to keep his hedge around you, keep evil far from you, especially your desire to serve him. That just puts a target for the enemy, but our God is bigger. Put on that full armor and just continue on that narrow way. And just pray that God will just fulfill his purpose in your life, that he has a plan and a purpose for you, and it's been a joy to see him at work in your life, and we're so grateful for it. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Ross. Gentlemen, I'll let you go ahead and be seated as we prepare for communion in just a moment. No, not you, Victor. You get to stay. We have one more testimonial, and that's from Ray Bennett. Reverend Ray Bennett is a representative with Transformation Ministries, and I meet him as a coach every week via Zoom. And we have a word of greeting from him for Victor.
Good Good morning. This is Reverend Ray Bennett from Transformation Ministries. I welcome you to El Centro, the First Baptist Church. And to all who are online and present, I bring you greetings from Transformation Ministries. And I've been working with Jim Shipman for since the mid-20s and bringing you a pastor. And you now have Todd Wallace, wonderful pastor, giving you full-time pastorate care. But the real purpose of today is to provide a licensing for Victor Rodriguez. What a wonderful day. Victor, I give you this message, personally congratulate you for the licensing and the privileges that it brings. So you need to take care of that privilege for weddings, funerals, and for preaching while you continue your ministry. So I would like to close with this prayer for Victor and Laura. Father, I thank you for Victor and Laura's dedication to your work in El Centro. And I ask that you bless them each and every day. Give them strength, give them a sense of purpose, and let them know that they are loved by all, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bye-bye. See you another time.
Okay, Victor, we've heard so much, and I'm sure you're probably on information overload, but you're stuck with me anyway. Real quickly, though, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. It is a good work. There is no higher vocational calling than what God has called you to. Number two is God's work. It cannot be done apart from God. There's just no way. It is hard work. So if you have not received the call of God, I would encourage you to find some other job, because I don't see it as possible to do apart from God's calling and God's blessing and God's empowerment. It is a fulfilling work that when we are found faithful to God, He promises to us a crown of glory. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. This has been a time of proving. These gentlemen that came forward this morning to lay their hands upon you, it's a time of they are identifying with you and are accepting the responsibility for your ministry and God's call in your life. That's a heavy responsibility, not to be lightly undertaken. And so they have a commitment now to you, as they have prayed for you and identified with you and endorsed God's calling in your life. They have a responsibility in your life as well. And that's an encouragement, actually. You are not alone. And these are men that will stand with you to see you through. And then finally, Titus, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. This good work requires that you live and grow in God's word. It's a requirement. So that you can exhort others. That means to draw near to comfort and strengthen other people. But if you don't have that comfort and strength in yourself, you cannot share it for others. And this begins with your own family. My word of testimony to you, I know God called me into ministry, God empowered me for ministry, but I could not do ministry without my wife. And she is to be cherished, she is to be listened to, she is to be cared for. There are times in ministry that the family will sacrifice for the needs of the ministry. But there are also times in ministry that the ministry will sacrifice for the needs of the family. And that becomes a healthy relationship that way. So, and by the way, that's a balanced thing, which is never in one spot at any one time. It's always a moving target, but it's always worth pursuing. And so your ministry also gives you an ability to give answers to those who are antagonistic to the Christian faith. Yesterday, Victor, right here, we had a funeral service, and we read the poem, very popular poem, about footprints in the sand. Almost everybody has heard Footprints in the Sand. Not as many people have heard Footprints in the Sand, Part 2. And I'd like to share it with you today because I feel it's pertinent to this occasion. One night you have a dream. You and the Lord Jesus are walking down the beach. For much of the way, the Lord's footprints go along steadily, consistently, rarely varying the pace. And your footprints are a disorganized stream of zigzags, starts, stops, turnarounds, circles, departures, and returns. Gradually, however, your footprints come more in line with the Lord's, soon paralleling his consistently. Then an interesting thing happens. Your footprints that once etched the sand next to Jesus are now walking precisely in his steps. Inside his larger footprints are your smaller ones. As this goes on for many miles, you gradually notice another change. The footprints inside the larger footprints seem to be growing larger. Eventually, they disappear altogether. There is only one set of footprints. They have become one. This goes on for a long time when suddenly the second set of footprints reappear. This time it seems even worse. Zigzags all over the place, stops, starts, deep gashes in the sand. You are amazed and shocked. You ask the Lord, Lord, I understand that the first scene with the zigzags and fits was when I was a new Christian. I was just learning. But you walked on through the storm and helped me to learn to walk with you. God answered, that is correct. And when the smaller footprints were inside of yours, I was actually learning to walk in your steps. I followed you very closely. Very good. You've understood everything so far. And when the smaller footprints grew and filled in yours, I suppose that I was becoming like you in every way. Precisely. So, Lord, was there a regression or something? The footprints separated, and this time it was worse than at first. There is a pause as the Lord answers with a smile in his voice. You didn't know? That was when we danced. I encourage you, Victor, to grow in your knowledge of God, for by that you will better see God. I encourage you, Victor, to grow in your faith in God, for by that you will better be able to serve God. And thirdly, I encourage you to grow in your love for God, because that's when you will learn to dance. Father God, we thank you for this time together this morning to encourage Victor, to challenge him. He is your son. He is your ministering agent. He is your ambassador. Not by our declaration, Lord, we're just recognizing the work that you've already done in his life. And we thank you for that which lies ahead. It is a challenge for us to walk beside you, to have our footprints within you, to represent you. But Lord, I pray for Victor, for each of us, that in our spiritual lives we would grow to the point where in our love we would learn to dance. Thank you for your work in Victor's life, for it is a miraculous thing, as it always is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go right into communion right now. I want to share with you a passage, 1 Corinthians 11, one we always share. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly.